Lord, we go back to the moment we were just in where we were worshiping you and just declaring that all we have, God, this morning is just a heart that says thank you, hearts that are just very grateful and full of gratitude for your love for us. And God, I pray that as we study through Psalm 103, I pray that you would just remind us all over again of the depth and the grandness of your love for us. I pray that today we would leave just encouraged all over again. God, I pray for fresh ears to be reminded of the gospel, of how good you are, how much you love us. And I thank you for allowing me to be here with this church family. God, thank you that we're all united and one under the blood of Jesus. And so as brothers and sisters together, we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I am excited to be here. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalm 103. Ironically, what's neat is I'm from Christian Life Church, and we are also in the summer studying the book of Psalms, and I've heard you guys are doing summer in Psalms, so we're unified there, which is cool. But before we get into the Word, I just want to tell you a little bit about who I am. My name's Landon Fleming. I've been married to my wife, Tara, for almost 11 years, and my wife is here with me in the front row. And we have four kids. Griffin and Miles are our 8- and 7-year-old boys, and Vala and Haven are our 4- and 2-year-old girls. So we have four kids, a dog named Smokey, and we have 13 chickens. A fun fact. We had 14, but now we're down to 13. But we're a full-time ministry family. We're just seeking to be faithful to Jesus and all he has for us. But one thing I can say about me is that I am one of the, what seems to be, few left that can truly say I was born and raised here in Murfreesboro. Is anybody else like that? Okay, just a few of us. We're still here. But I remember actually right down the street being at my grandparents' house. I remember all the time going on their front porch and looking to the right and seeing through the tree line. I used to go look at the cows and the tractors that were working the farm. And now that same field is Siegel Elementary School, Siegel Middle School, and Siegel High School. So I've seen the city grow to what it is today. I've seen, again, what used to be farms turn into schools and businesses, but there's not a lot of people that can say what I say. I actually love it. I love that the city is expanding and growing, because what that means is that there's more people. And if there's more people, that means that we, as the Church of Jesus, have work to do. And I've heard it 2 or 3 times today, the word sovereignty, God's sovereignty. What that means is God knows in advance what's going to happen. And I take courage and I take comfort in knowing God and his sovereignty. He knew in advance we would be in this city in 2025. And its growing rate and the rate that it's growing, God knew that we would be here, that the table would be here, that my home church, Christian Life, would be here when all of these people are flocking in. It means we have work to do. And so I just want to encourage you guys that, you know, you just heard from Pastor Kyle. I don't know if you hear this a lot, but I'm just going to say it. He's the real deal. And in case you just needed that encouragement and that validation, he's the real deal. And I remember first meeting Kyle back in 2023, back when the table met at Brass Horn. Was anybody Brass Horn people? Okay. So back when the table met at Brass Horn, I remember Kyle coming in one day to get something from the room, back in one of the rooms, and like he does so many times, instead of just blowing right past me and some guys that were there with our Bibles open, he just sat down and greeted us and got to know us. And so from 2023 until now, Kyle has been a consistent and faithful friend to me, has even spoken to so many different seasons and steps that we are taking as Christian Life Church. As we grow and seek to multiply, Pastor Kyle has been such a key voice for me. And so I just say all that to say, I hope that you take comfort in knowing that your pastor is who he says he is, and that I, as an outside person, can validate that he's the real deal. And I hope you're encouraged to be a part of this season at the table, as they have probably been sharing. It seems as if the Lord's hand is on unifying and becoming one church congregation with Lighthouse. And so this is an exciting time to see what the Lord is doing. And so before we study Psalm 103, I just want to challenge you guys with two things. So number one, I challenge you to pray more than you ever have before in your life for Pastor Kyle and his wife and his kids. Just pray for him and his family. And number two, now more than ever, is it time to just go all in into the mission of God and reaching our city. Now more than ever, is it time for you to fully live out what I've heard Kyle say so many times at Brass Horn, that the table is all about accountability, community, and discipleship. So live that out. As you examine your life, how can you go deeper and further into living out being a person of accountability, community, and discipleship? And I say it all the time. Why not now? Why not see our city be flipped upside down for Jesus, for the sake of the gospel? I dream all the time. When I close my eyes, I just imagine seeing our city. How cool would it be if the country of America looked in on Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and wondered, what is happening? What is going on there? A city that is unified within all the local churches, working together to spread the gospel, to make disciples. I mean, why not? Why can't it happen? Why can't it happen that the country would look in on our city and wonder what is happening there? And can we see that same thing happen in our city? And so hopefully when you close your eyes, you dream about that too, because that's what I'm praying for. And so pray more than ever for your pastor and go all in with what God is doing here at the table. Amen? Got it? Yeah. That's neat. I've never taught at another church on a Sunday morning. I've taught at several different churches and camps, but I'm always curious what the culture's like. Some churches, if I say amen, they just stare at me. But you guys got amen. We're in agreement. We're in unity here. Amen. Awesome. All right. Hopefully by now, you have your Bibles open to Psalm 103. I love studying this book of the Bible. I'm sure if all of you have any form of church background, do you remember the hymn books? Anybody remember reading and singing out of hymn books where you would turn to the certain page and you would sing when they actually had the music notated and the harmony parts wrote out for you? The book of Psalms is Israel's original hymn book, where they would sing songs that were notated and written for the people of God. And so when God's people would gather corporately, the book of Psalms was their hymn book. And maybe even, again, they would sing these songs corporately, but maybe even when they would be alone walking to work or riding their animals to work, or maybe alone in their homes or gathered around the table with their families, they would probably find themselves singing these psalms, these songs together. And I love this because one of my absolute favorite things to do is what we just did a few minutes ago, and just to sing. I love to sing. I love to sing with my wife, Tara. We love to sing with our four kids. One of my favorite moments is to be around the dinner table with the guitar and to hear my kids sing. I love it. I love contemporary worship. I love Southern gospel, four-part harmony, and everything in between. I love all of it. Any environment I can be in to sing, I love it. And in my walk with Christ and in my singing, I've noticed a few things. I've found that singing is vital in the life of a follower of Jesus. Singing is vital. I've also learned that singing actually lodges truth deep in your soul. And there's not a person in the entire world that would disagree that singing is actually the best way to remember things. I can still to this day recite to you the entire preamble of the Constitution of the United States of America because of Schoolhouse Rock back in middle school. Still to this day, can recite the whole thing. And it's all because of a song. We remember things. My son goes to PCA right down the road, Providence Christian Academy, and he can recite to you the 7 days of creation, what happened after that. He can recite to you the 12 tribes of Israel and Egyptian history. It's like this five-minute song that he has memorized the entire lyrics to this entire song and can spit to you history that I don't even know. But you ask my 8-year-old son, he knows it. He can tell you why. It's because of a song. It's because we remember things best through singing. I mean, if you think about it, why is it that the person that is suffering from Alzheimer's, they may not remember a face, they may not remember a name, but you begin singing an old hymn and they can sing it in its entirety. Why is that? It's because singing lodges truth at a soul deep level. It supersedes the natural mind. I don't know how it is or why that is, but we remember and learn best through singing. It lodges truth in our soul. And I think that that's why David would write Psalm 103. And I think it's why he would say in verses 1 and 2, and I read from the ESV, it says, "Bless the Lord," or "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." In verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," and then it ends with, "And forget not all his benefits." Don't forget all of his benefits. So David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote this psalm to be sang to remind our soul of the benefits of belonging to God. And when he sings, "Bless the Lord, sing to the Lord," he then ends with, "And don't forget, O my soul." How easily do we as humans forget? And I say it all the time. One day we're on fire for Jesus, and the next day we're contemplating walking away from Jesus. One day we're praising the name of Jesus, and the next day we're ready to punch our coworker in the mouth. It's just, and all of that can happen all in one day. How quickly we forget, how easy we sway and go back and forth. One day we're praising, fully on fire, trusting Jesus, and the next we're doubting that he would provide for us in the heat of this moment. We read it all in the Old Testament. It was the Israelites' problem. It was the disciples' problem. And we're not immune to it. It's our problem too. How easily we forget. And this is why there's so much power as the Holy Spirit would inspire the writers of the Psalms, like King David and so many more. They were all written to remind our heart the benefits of belonging to God. And so I have it written here. I say, Psalm 103 is a reminder that believers should be marked by singing and blessing the Lord because he's worthy of our worship. And then in turn, it's because it lodges the truth of God's way and character deep in our soul. I mean, on and on and on and on I could go. I mean, I read a few weeks ago, Deuteronomy chapter 31. And it amazed me right there in the Old Testament. In chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, the Lord commands Moses, you can go and read it later, Deuteronomy 31, God commands Moses as they are coming out of wandering and they are entering into the promised land, the land of comfort and ease. As they're entering there, God says in verse 19 to Moses, "Now Moses, therefore write this song and teach it to the people of Israel." God says, "Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the people of Israel." So why write the song? In verse 21, God says, "Write this song so that when many evils and troubles have come upon them, this song shall confront them as a witness, for it will live unforgotten in the mouths of their offspring." So God knew, and I want you to see this. I know it's not on the screen, but this is just for me to you. Deuteronomy 31. This is all leading to Psalm 103. God knew that the Israelites would drift into compromise. They would begin worshiping false gods and worshiping pleasure. And he wanted Moses to teach them a song that you can read in chapter 32 as a way to remind them, to confront them when they start to wonder, when they start to forget all that God has done. This song would be in place to remind them and teach them. And as I read Deuteronomy 31 and Psalm 103 again, what I see is how easy our hearts drift away from the Lord. And like the Israelites, we, as God's people, we need a song to keep us aligned with God. Because if we're honest, when life gets easy is when we're most prone to wonder. When our dependence on the Lord starts to weaken, when it starts to get easy and life is good, that's when we start to drift. And this is what was happening to the Israelites. And so I just got to hound on this for a minute. I don't know if this is normal, but the way I roll is I'm just going to speak how it is. I'm going to speak the truth. If we're honest, this may represent a lot of us in the room. We may find that our life is easy, and if we really truly examine our walk with Christ, we may find that we have just kind of gone lax a little bit, gotten a little bit complacent. Perhaps you're treating Jesus just like an add-on. He's what you do on Sundays. Monday through Saturday, occasionally. Sundays, yes. But maybe Jesus, if you truly look in the mirror, he's an add-on, but not Lord over all of life. Or maybe you treat Jesus as just the celebrity guy that rescued you from hell, but he's not truly the king that you die to yourself and follow every day. This is the great tragedy of humanity, is that we begin to compromise. We begin to tolerate sin and somehow excuse it like it's no big deal. Maybe it's sexual secret sin. Maybe it's getting drunk on alcohol. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's XYZ. Whatever it is in your life, if you look in the mirror, where have you seen your soul forget the benefits of belonging to God and then in turn live a life of compromise? But please hear me. The good news, just like it was good news for Israel, is that even if you drift, even if you wander and compromise, the song is still there. You can come back. You can return. The gospel still stands true. And you can come. Even in the dark nights of suffering, you can sing a song to the Lord. And in the bright days of goodness, you can still sing this song. And so why did King David write Psalm 103? It was to remind us of the goodness of God, the benefits of belonging to God. So you may ask, what are the benefits? That's exactly what the rest of the Psalms are all about. So let's just go line by line. Let's look through. What are the benefits of belonging to God? And if you're here today, and maybe you would relate to Israel, maybe you have, maybe it's not even public. Maybe it's just this internal battle you've been wrestling, your heart drift, or you once were fully on fire for Jesus, ready to show up and serve at the table, and now you're just fighting to get out of bed. I don't know what it is for every person, but if you're here today and you need that reminder, I would say perhaps the Holy Spirit has you here to remind your soul of the goodness of belonging to Him. And so what is that goodness? Verse 3 says, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your disease, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And so we'll pause there. I mean, that right there is enough to be an entire sermon. Who forgives all your iniquity. For those that belong to Christ, all of our sin has been forgiven. The word iniquity there means perversity, evil, wrongdoing. All the ways you have violated God, all of the wrong things you do, all of the times you've failed to do what's right, all the ways you've hurt others physically, verbally, emotionally, emotionally, all the impure thoughts, actions, motives, all of that in Christ has been forgiven. That's good news. I don't know how we're quiet about that. That's really good news. It's exciting. That just that alone, all of our iniquity, all of our wrongdoing has been nailed to the cross. If you look forward to verse 10, it says, He does not deal with us according to our sin, nor repay us according to our iniquity. There's that word again. He doesn't repay us according to our iniquity. This reality is true because, if you're familiar with the Bible, Isaiah 53:5, foreshadowing the death of Christ, says that Jesus, He was pierced for our transgressions and He was crushed for our iniquities. Right there you see all of our sin, it was erased as if it was never there in the first place because it was transferred to Jesus on the cross and He was crushed because of it. And therefore, He gave us freely all of His righteousness. He forgives. But not just that. The rest of verse 3, it says He heals all of our disease. Now, is this a reference to physical healing or spiritual healing? In a way, both. Now, in reality, does God heal every single disease that believers have on earth? I wish it was just like that. But no. Not every time, but if He chooses to, I hope you still believe that God is able to still physically heal people here on earth. But does He do it every time? No. But when believers step into eternal life, does God heal all of our disease? Yes. Yes. I say some healing will come now, but all healing will come then. This is future hope. I don't know if you find yourself here today and you're in a season of sickness or you have a loved one wrestling with sickness. The beautiful hope that we have in the future is knowing that in Jesus, one day that will be no more. That in Jesus, all healing will come, and some does come now. I've seen it. But all healing comes then. Verse 4. Benefits of belonging to Jesus. He forgives, He heals, and He redeems your life from the pit. He redeems your life from the pit. The original language here for pit is best translated. In fact, I think I saw the New King James or the NLT said death. He redeems your life from death. That's another way to translate pit, grave, death. God has rescued us, paid the price we owe to free us from a life of death. From the pit. I wonder if you remember what it's like to be in the pit. Predominantly, maybe even before coming to Jesus. I know so many of our stories may vary. Maybe you were presented the gospel as a kid, and you've just kind of lived a life of following Jesus and had a love for Jesus. Life hasn't been easy, but from a young age, maybe you followed Jesus. But for me, I didn't grow up in church, really, until I became a young adult in college. And so I remember a life apart from Jesus. For me, my pit was, you know, just a life of hardship. My parents had me at 16. So I always say I was a baby being raised by teenagers. And I was a part of a lot of dysfunction and chaos, teenage drama. I had a front row seat to it all. And my parents broke up when I was 2 months old. And so I was a mama's boy. Everywhere mama was, that's where I was. We lived in apartments and homes, and we went everywhere. But my stepdad would come around. And I remember when I was 8 years old, I remember my mom just in the living room holding her head. And she had a headache, wasn't sure what was going on. And so that night, she would be taken to the emergency room. And they would discover she had a tumor in her brain, and she would be diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer. And so for several months in that moment, my life was just flipped upside down. You know, I'm mama's boy. Everywhere she is, there I am. And now she's in the hospital, surgeries. But life got back to normal. She would have surgery, tumor removed, and she would come back home. And so life was the same, but at the same time, I noticed something different in my mom. I noticed now all of a sudden, where before we didn't go to church, she never talked about Jesus, we never prayed. Now all of a sudden, every room I'm in, there's Bible verses, sticky notes everywhere, all over the walls, on the bathroom, in my room, window paint on our vehicles, like Jesus is awesome. I just remember as an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old kid just wondering, what is happening? My mom has gone crazy. This is wild. Now every person we talk to, it's like, oh my gosh, she's going to talk about Jesus again. She's going to pray for that person. She just was radically different. And my stepdad wasn't, though. So I stayed home with stepdad while mom went to church. She woke up early, like so many of you do here. Get here early, straighten chair, set out stuff. That was my mom. She was going to church, setting up, and we stayed home. And so this was just life up until March 8th, 2006. I remember waking up, firemen carrying out my mom on a stretcher, and she would pass away from a seizure in her sleep. And so my response to this was, Mom, love Jesus, and now she's gone. My response to that was, God, you must just not like me. So if you don't like me, well, I don't like you either. If you're going to take her from me, that just proves you don't like me, God, so I don't like you either. And so this was I call it my rebel years. Anything bad I could do, that was what I was going to do. And this was my pit. This was my season of truly living a hopeless, broken, would physically see my body affected. I had to be put on blood pressure medicine at 18, just angry all the time, getting in fights, broken, hopeless me living in this pit. Until 2012, in January, I would hear the gospel and be taken back by it. It was everything opposite of what I thought the gospel was. I thought the gospel was get your life together, clean up, and be perfect, and then God might accept you. That was the gospel to me. But then to hear the opposite, that's not true. That was God meeting me in my pit and redeeming me, rescuing me out of that. I remember what that was like to be there. I wonder if you remember in your own way what that's like to be in that pit. But I know for me, in 2012, God met me there, and he was my great redeemer and freed me from the life of death, to know that he's for me, not against me. And I can't earn his love, but that's the point of grace. So if you're here today, I just never can move past moments. And just admitting, maybe there are listeners here today that are truly in that pit. Maybe you are not in Jesus. Maybe you're wondering, maybe you're questioning, maybe you feel the Lord pursuing you, but if you're honest, you're not truly a surrendered disciple of Jesus. Just take comfort in knowing the Lord is not afraid to step into the pit and be the great redeemer, that verse 4 says. And maybe you are a believer, but you still somehow find yourself in a pit. Maybe it's a pit of anxiety, depression, a season of suffering, maybe it's job transition, I'm not sure. But know and take courage in knowing that our Lord steps into the pit and is our great redeemer. I could go on and on and on, but we have several more verses to get through. And so verse 4, we just continue to see, and I'll go quickly through a lot of these. Verse 4, that he doesn't just redeem us from the pit, but he crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. He satisfies us with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And then verse 6, we begin to see the benefits of God's character. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. This means God's righteous. He's just. He's not just a distant God that is hiding behind the door waiting for you maybe to know him. He has made known his ways to us through his word. Verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And he will not always chide, is what the ESV says. Does anybody use that word in their everyday language, chide? Okay, no, none of us. So I had to look up this word chide and what it means when it says God will not always chide. It means that God will not always scold and rebuke. It means that God's not going to hang over your head for the rest of your life, all your failure, all of your shortcomings, all of your sin. He's not going to get in a bad mood and bring up the past. Well, you remember when you did this, this, and this, or when you failed to do this? You remember when you... That's not the way the Lord operates. If we're not careful, we may think he does. We may think, oh, I'm disqualified from serving or speaking or blah, blah, blah because of... But we can be comforted in knowing God does not chide. He does not scold and rebuke and hang over your head. People are that way, if we're honest. People can be that way, but the Lord is not that way. This is why it's good news. In verse 10, we dealt with that earlier. He does not deal with us according to our sin, nor repay us according to our iniquity. And verses 11 through 14 are some of the most beautiful, powerful verses in all of Scripture. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. If I can summarize all of those verses, what it's saying is that God fully knows us. He knows our thoughts. He knows how fragile we are. That we are fully known, every detail by God. And at the exact same time, we are fully loved. That we cannot be more loved by God than we are in Christ. Fully known, fully loved. And then for the sake of time, verses 15 through 19 is basically just a way of the Holy Spirit through King David reminding us that God is eternal, that though man come and go, though our lives are like that, God is not that way. His kingdom is eternal, and he is ruling and reigning now and forever and ever for all eternity. And then we get to the end. Now, I don't know if you caught this in verse 20. Remember, at the beginning, it was, bless the Lord, O my soul, me bless the Lord. But now in verse 20, now all of a sudden the language shifts. Bless the Lord, O you his angels. O the mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of the Lord. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. In verse 22, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. And then it closes how it started. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I love this because what King David is getting at is the worship the Lord deserves is not just from me, he is worthy of the worship of all creation. He is worthy of all of our worship. Everything we have, his angels, his people, everywhere he has dominion, he is worthy of worship from those places. And so this is Psalm 103. I could go all day, but we don't have all day. Kyle told me to make sure not to go all day. For your sake. But Psalm 103 is just at its simplest a reminder to us of the benefits of belonging to God. And how quickly do we forget? How quickly will you forget tomorrow morning or Tuesday or Wednesday? And my plea to you is that you would come to Psalm 103 and just remind your soul of the beauty of belonging to God. And that not just that individually, but that you would remind one another. I know you guys have small groups and gatherings and so much happening. But may you be a church that reminds one another of the benefits of belonging to God. Amen. Got it. Well, before we end our service, we're going to put this into practice. We are going to end the service with singing together and worshiping the Lord through communion and singing. So I'll invite the worship team back up, but if you guys would just stay seated for a moment. I know Pastor Kyle likes to challenge you guys with some reflection questions. And so here are some questions that you can reflect on today and this week based on this sermon. And so there's four of them. Number one, what does it look like for you to go all in with the mission of God in this season at the table? And number two, how can you make worship through singing a more regular part of your spiritual rhythm, both alone and with others? And so I get excited about this, and I know that I'm a musician, and some of you may not be, and so when you think of singing, you think, I can't even sing. I don't even know how to sing in tune. I don't know how to X, Y, Z. Just what can you do to remove those barriers and to become a person, even if it's absolutely off-key and terrible? I think what the Lord is looking at anyways is right here. He's looking at the heart of the voice that's singing. Number three, what is your pit? And how has God redeemed your life from that pit? Or how do you need him to? And then number four, like I just said, is being a faith-filled worshiper something you're known for personally? If not, what's holding you back? So think on these questions this week. And let's end our service today. Let me just pray for you, and then we'll do communion, and then the team will lead us in some worship. And so, Lord, we're so grateful for your word. God, if anybody was reminded of your goodness, I know it was me. God, thank you for all of the benefits that we can have as being your people, your children. Thank you, Lord, that in Jesus we are completely forgiven. We are spiritually healed. We are redeemed. We are rescued. We are crowned with glory and honor. God, all of these things, it doesn't even feel right sometimes to say. But thank you that your word is true. That in Christ, we are completely secure in you. And so, Lord, I pray first for any person here in the room that finds themselves in a season apart or away from you. Maybe their heart is hanging on by a thread. Maybe they just in a place of suffering. Lord, I just pray for anybody in the room that your word today would just be a comfort to them, that they would be reminded of your goodness, and that they would find their heart be refreshed and revamped. And God, I pray for this church as a whole. God, I pray not only would we celebrate all of these amazing benefits and qualities and characteristics of you, God, but I pray, Holy Spirit, would you make us to be these things? Would you help us to be people that model your forgiveness, your healing, your rescuing and redemption, your steadfast love and mercy? Help us to be people that don't hold things over others' heads. God, help us to live out this word that we have studied today. God, help us to be people that model that. And God, more than anything, do I pray that you would just light a fire in all of our hearts to be people of passionate, true, authentic, genuine worship. That every historical place of revival was preceded with deep prayer and worship. That every on-fire believer that has made a difference in their life is always a person of deep, genuine worship. So God, help us to be that. Help us to live that. Help us to carry this heart to pursue you in worship. And God, I pray that you would do that in us. Holy Spirit, we admit we need your help. So would you help us, God? Would you give us this heart? Would you be glorified through our singing? And as we remember you on the cross through communion, would you be glorified? Would your presence be made known here? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's take a minute to worship the Lord through communion. There are communion elements on the outside rows, if you would pass those to one another. We're going to take communion together corporately. So once you get your elements, would you stand to your feet with me and I'll lead us through communion. We'll start with the bread. All I can think about is that the only reason that we can proclaim the good news of Psalm 103, the only reason we can say that our God forgives, He heals, He redeems, it's only because of the broken body and blood of Jesus. That is the only reason that we can proclaim good news and tell our souls to remember this. And so all of this at its peak is in the body and blood of Jesus. And so we can rest in this truth because of Jesus. And so starting with the bread, I'm just going to pray. Lord, thank you for your body that was broken for us. We thank you that by your broken body, we are made whole, we are healed. And so, Lord, we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, let's take the bread together. And Lord, we thank you for your blood. We thank you that by your blood, we are washed clean. That by your blood, our iniquity has been done away with. Our sin has been done away with. That by your stripes we are healed. And Lord, we're very grateful for that. We thank you for your blood. Let's take the juice together. Amen. Well, thank you guys for letting me teach Psalm 103 to you. I'm very grateful. Though we go to different local churches, we are a part of the same Big C Church, and so I'm excited for what God is doing in our city and in your church. Let's just go all in together. Let's, like I said, why not us? Why not Murfreesboro? Why not turn our city upside down for Jesus? And that's not going to happen just because of pastors. It's going to happen because of God's people invading their workplaces, their homes with the kingdom. And so it takes all of us. So why not now? Amen. So thank you for letting me teach your word, teach the word to you. We're gonna end service today by modeling out what we said. We're gonna sing together, and so the team's gonna lead us in a couple worship songs.
Believe how you love me. What a friend. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. I worship His holy name. I sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. I worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. worship your holy name.
And dear God, I just pray that that would be just our cry to you, God, this week, that that would not leave our lips and our minds, that we would just continue to just say, bless the Lord, God, through whatever we're going through. And I just pray that you would help us to live that out in our lives, God, this week, that we would just, that we would act on your word, God, that we wouldn't just be receivers of it. I just pray that that would be true in our lives, God, that we would just reflect the light that that you give us, God, and the love that you give us. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys, and if you're serving in the at VBS, the meeting is over at Lighthouse at 12, so I'll see you guys over there.